This morning I'm reading selected verses from Acts 2, verses 1 through 21 and Ezekiel 37. It won't be the entirety, but select verses. I put them down here in the wrong order. From Ezekiel 37, Common English Bible. The Lord's power overcame me, and while I was in the Lord's Spirit, he led me out and set me down in the middle of a certain valley. It was full of bones. He led me through them all around, and I saw that there were a great many of them on the valley floor, and they were very dry. He asked me, "Human one, can these bones live again?" I said, "Lord God, only you know." Picking up at verse 10, I prophesied, just as he commanded me. When the breath entered them, they came to life and stood on their feet, an extraordinarily large company. He said to me, "Human one, these bones are the entire house of Israel. They say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely finished.' So now prophesy and say to them, 'I will put my breath in you and you will live. I will plant you on your fertile land and you will know that I am Lord.'" And then from the book of Acts, chapter 2, when Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. Down at verse 12, it says, they, speaking of the crowds who had gathered, were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They are full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone listening in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Frank was a fluffy, healthy, vibrant puppy, full of life. His eyes were the most beautiful and bright shade of blue, even compared to other huskies like him. Frank was a beauty among his breed and destined to live the life, kind of like the one hanging here on my hip, of a spoiled and pampered dog. But life isn't easy or fair. As an adult, Frank found himself one of 20 large breed dogs who are owned by a hoarder in Wyoming. This hoarder was being investigated after police discovered another horse trailer on their property containing 12 neglected dogs. Many months later, after this particular discovery, the police discovered another trailer, this one containing Frank and 19 other dogs. In the months between these discoveries, the dogs rarely saw any form of food or water. Their bodies shrank, and their situation was desperate. Unfortunately, the rest of the pack had determined that Frank was the weak dog, as he'd previously been hit by a car and sustained a complicated leg injury. The other dogs began to pick at him. In order to survive, Frank found a corner. The corner was filled with waste and wood chips, and Frank buried himself there. Meanwhile, a man named John had been busy finding foster homes for the other dozen dogs that had previously been rescued. He was called to come in and help with the second discovery of animals that was coming into custody. Anne was a helper at the rescue and went with John. She recalled the moment that the trailer door was open and 19 dogs emerged one by one. After it seemed like all the dogs had been removed, rescue workers went inside the trailer. In the back, under all the waste, they found one more dog. He was weak, scared, and terribly injured. He looked fragile. Bones, open wounds, with skin covering them. Frank was taken to a veterinary hospital. His body was cleaned and a big cone placed around his neck. And then he was put into a holding pen. That's where Anne met Frank. Given his state, Anne wasn't sure that Frank would ever trust another human being, and she figured he would be extremely wary of other animals. Anne entered the pen carefully and quietly and sat down against the wall furthest from this pitiful creature. She spoke to him gently, and to her surprise, the dog got up and began to come towards Anne. She reached out her hand and found the remaining bit of fur on his neck, petted it, and spoke sweetly to him. And then a magical thing happened. The dog walked over and put its head, cone and all, on Anne's shoulder. Anne, petting the dog, then heard Frank start to sing, as huskies are known to do. And in that moment, the blue-eyed singer achieved his name, Frank Sinatra. In that moment, life returned to Frank's spirit. Today, Frank loves people. He readily accepts anyone who treats him with kindness, and he still loves other animals. The last update that I could find about Frank was posted in May of last year and showed Frank along with his beagle sister living their very best life out on their first camping trip, lounging around the camper. Have you ever been in a situation where you looked around and you just felt that whatever you were in the middle of was utterly hopeless? You see, I lifted up the story of Frank because I feel like there are two perspectives here. There's Frank himself, who was clinging to some last shred of hope that he would even go and bury himself in that corner. What was he waiting for? But then there was the perspective of Anne, who looked upon his fragileness and his frailty and these bones, and she wondered, could he ever have the spirit of a dog put back into him? Have we looked around ourselves ever and seeing that we were in the middle of an extremely hopeless situation? Ezekiel was a priest who lived in Jerusalem during the days that we read about in 2 Kings chapter 24. Babylon had been attacked Jerusalem and taken a large portion of their people into exile. The book of Ezekiel itself begins 5 years after this exile started. In the aftermath, the temple has been destroyed. And Ezekiel has already seen visions that there is going to be more destruction to come. This has all been foretold. And so he himself was one of those taken and was living in exile himself. They had no place to gather, no central location for their faith. They were being picked on, assumed to be weak. They felt hopeless. They must have looked around and wondered, where is God? Does God love even me still? Or has God turned God's back? Is he fed up with me? Is it hopeless? And into that, God sent this vision to Ezekiel. What is more dead than a bone not attached to another bone? What could be more lifeless and hopeless than disarray, dry, old bones completely devoid of life, no possibility of recovery. I can't think of anything more devoid of life than that. And yet God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? Now, if God came into the room and you had a big old femur in your hand and said to you, can this bone be part of something and live again? What do you think you would say? Not likely. I'm not thinking so. But Ezekiel said to God, only you know. I wouldn't have thought of that, by the way. I don't think I'm that smart. I would have looked at the bone and went, nope. But Ezekiel said, only you know, God. The God who put bones together in the first place. The God who took a little bit of dirt and blew life into that and it became a human. The God who took a bone from that human and made a whole nother one. Of course God could make life in a bone. Or even the dust of a bone. But God doesn't take the job upon himself completely. Instead, he says to Ezekiel three times, prophesy to the bone. At first, it's the scattered bones. Prophesy to all of these bits and pieces, and they come together. And then he says, now that they have joined into one being, prophesy again. And then the rest of the body starts to assemble itself, and at last, he says, now speak my spirit, my breath, and it will enter them, and they will be fully restored and vital. The Spirit of God brings life where there is none. Ezekiel knew that God surely, after this, would restore Israel. That was the talk anyway, was that Israel would once again thrive, that they would recover from this moment, that it seemed that their nation was a valley of dry bones. But now, have you ever considered that scripture sitting alongside the Pentecost scripture like we have it this morning? The valley of the dry bones, and wondered how could these two maybe be connected even a little. What would it have felt like if we were one of the disciples? Jesus has been there. We've seen all of the things that we have seen. Jesus is restored to life, and just last week we celebrated the ascension, and this is pretty close in what time relation would have been for them, because today's Pentecost, which means 50th. This is the 50th day after resurrection. So when they were gathered for the 50th day celebration, and there's more connections there, but also 10 days after the ascension. So here we are, 8 days. So approximately the same time. And Jesus has gone on. They witnessed all of this, but they still were left there without Jesus. They knew something was supposed to be coming, but how? What? Would we know when it got here? How will we know when we have seen the Spirit that has been promised to us? Is this even possible? Can this movement live? This movement where we teach people what Jesus was teaching about love and about the new bond between God and human. Can this movement live? Can I make it happen? And what part of it can I even possibly do? The ministry and the movement must have seemed a bit like a valley of dry bones. The disciples had to be wondering about it all and whether or not there was even hope. And on that day, they gathered at that time, not celebrating 50 days since the resurrection, but 50 days into their barley harvest. And the celebration of the first fruits that had been gathered, and they were excited to give thanks for what had been gathered. So they were gathered together, hiding kind of in this upper room, and a crazy thing happened. Imagine, I just love to imagine what it would be like if we were there. So we're all in a room here today, and we're all happy to be here. We're all celebrating that it's spring, and we think things are beautiful. We've given thanks. We can't imagine if inside the room a storm broke out, and outside the room all was well. It seemed like something from a sci-fi movie, would it not? And we see swirling clouds and fire tongues resting on the heads in here. First of all, what a scene. Second of all, if you're sitting next to me and you have fire on your head, I'm moving. The one side of the church is going to get very empty. We're going to get away. What a scene. Crazy. These people on fire, but not getting
caught on fire. Doesn't that sound familiar? Kind of. God had shown himself in fire before. How did God get the attention of Moses on the mountain? The bush that was on fire yet did not burn up. When Moses led the procession out of Israel, or out of Egypt, I wrote out of Israel, silly me. When he led them out of Egypt, what led them? A pillar of fire. When God went up on the mountain and gave his law, there was a storm that lingered. And the tabernacle was later built on this same mountain, and God showed up there in a huge column of fire hovering above it. Fire in the Old Testament signaled God's presence, leaving a mark in a space and actually creating in that space a dwelling place for God. God was in the bush. God was on the mountain. God was in the temple. God has a history of showing up in fire and inspiring humankind to live into his plan. And now we have these people who, through Christ, everything has been made new. And on the 50th day after resurrection, the 10th after ascension, something was expected, but they couldn't figure out exactly what was going to happen. And then the Spirit came into the room. The expected came in an unexpected way, because whoever would predict that? I'm going to be the next burning bush, y'all. Nope, probably not. God's Spirit came into the space where life had been going along, and yet those in the room probably didn't know how to proceed. It was a big job. I wouldn't know how to proceed. Wondering if this could live, and God breathed life into them, into the ones gathered there. And Peter is inspired to speak, saying, "I'll pour out my Spirit on the people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. The young will see visions, the elders will dream dreams, and upon my servants, both men and women, I will pour my Spirit, and they will prophesy." The power of God was infused upon those present on that morning in Jerusalem, and through his fire, life was renewed into their spirit, and the church was born. Congratulations, it's a church. And your old will dream dreams, and your young will see vision, and the men and the women will prophesy. Did you know you guys were all prophets? Did you ever think you were a prophet? Each and every one. Wouldn't most of us say, I know I have felt the Spirit of God at one point or another? Even when I look around and wonder, how, what, where will I go, how will God use me? But each one has felt the Spirit of God, and so we are all prophets. We might look around our personal life and say, there's a part of my life going on where I feel really hopeless right now. We might look at the denomination or the churches and say, is the life draining away from Christianity as we know it? Can these houses of God live? We might look at our city or state or nation or government in general and think, is anything I'm going to do going to make a real difference, or is everything a lost cause? Maybe we can look around ourselves and see elements of all of these things. We see the larger world and we have worries. We see the churches that are in our community and we have worries. We look at our own life and we have worries and concerns. Maybe we feel that we are standing in the middle of an entire pile of bones that are in disarray, made up of all of these different things. So imagine yourself now in that pile of bones, and now knowing that you too are prophets, and hear God speak to you, saying, you talk to the bones. Lift the word about my Spirit to these bones. God's not asking you to use the words that might first spring to mind or seem pretty or seem like what other people want to hear, but instead to open ourselves to be lit on that fire and to hear the words of God. You know what's the funny thing is, sometimes when you open your mouth and the words that come out, you definitely don't recognize, because God put something there that you didn't even know you knew. But through prayer and openness, we allow God to speak the words that come out of our mouths. Not my words, Lord, but yours. First, we would prophesy to the most hopeless, the ones burying themselves in the corner, that God would give them the strength to come out and us the strength to reach for them, knowing that all things are possible through the Creator. Then God might ask us to speak to those around us that we see that are on the right path, but they are still struggling. Sometimes we are the ones that are on the right path and yet still struggling. Because there is an in-between. And we speak to those and say, keep going, for God is with you and working through you, and you have work to do, my friend. Keep working your way there. And then open ourselves to be ready to speak into a larger setting. Use what we understand to make differences in the injustice we see around us. And don't be afraid, friends, to proclaim the good news at all times into so many different things, knowing that not only can all of these bones live, but we have all been set aside to live life abundantly through God's grace. And as long as we seek grace, then we can live that triumphant life that we were destined for at our creation. It doesn't matter if you are speaking to a large group or one single person, or even into your own spirit, but speak. Speak life. Speak spirit. And join me as we celebrate happy birthday to the church, our temple, and we now too are temples as we have been infused with the Spirit of God. We are the walking and talking temples. So I call you prophets and prophetesses to rise up and be not just the called people, but the sent people who help to breathe life back into the community through the Spirit of God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are here in this room. We've imagined what it would be like to see fire and storm come into this room. And we know that that would cause us to be scared, Lord. But we can look at the scripture and know that as surely as it happened in the book of Acts, it does happen. Maybe not with the theatrical things that we imagine, but Lord, you do land on us. May we receive your Spirit. May we embrace it even when it's uncomfortable. May we allow that to heal us like Frank was healed. May we also allow that to make us the ands of the world who are willing to go and do the reaching and the speaking and the loving, even when it doesn't look like anything good is possible. May we speak life. Thank you, Lord, for speaking it to us. We love you. In love for you, we pray. Amen.